You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stukats Podcast.
Got something that always stimulates my interests is changing in real time consumption habits of any kind. The cell phone arrives. Okay, we're going to go to not answering the phone anymore. We're going to go to text messages. That's right. Nobody's going to announce it. It's just going to be something that changes. And we're living in a ton of them. They're all over the place. Amazon, I don't think anyone saw all of that coming. Just going to take out retail. Starts as a bookstore. Next thing you know, oh, no, this is how I need to do it. I need to get my stuff more conveniently. I'm going to eliminate the malls. The thing that I'm interested in entertainment right now is what's happening in the way that people consume content. And the reason I bring it up is because I think Jessica, when she's talking about having a PTSD triggered by The Bear, which I think is on Hulu. She is sharpening her viewing habits by grabbing the streamers that she wants. And these are the shows that I want to binge. And if you give me enough of them, here are my three or four or six streaming services. I don't think that that's the way Stugatz and Greg Cody are doing it.
Well, I should explain why first, Dan. The 17-minute long take that they had in the second to last episode of The Bear reminded me of our 24-hour marathon Freedom. And I was watching it. I was watching them yell at each other about peppers. Chef, cousin, who's got the peppers?
Cousin.
You working on the peppers?
Yes, chef.
Everyone's yelling about peppers.
It's one of the most stressful things I've ever seen on television.
It was great.
Just 17 straight minutes of that. Greg, but how are you doing your streaming habits? Because Stugatz has descended into Stan Van Gundy land. Give me my Law & Order, FBI, hospital shows on CBS.
Just FBI, FBI International, FBI's Most Wanted. They're all great. They're all the same, but they're all great.
Stan Van Gundy viewing poopery.
They always get their guy, Dan.
I love The Bear. I watch that religiously. Can't wait till season two. But I can't, and I'm being very honest, not to make fun of myself, I can't keep track of what's on what streaming service.
Agreed.
I just can't. Yes. There's so many of them. I don't know if what we're watching is FX or Hulu or Netflix. I don't know. I can't keep track.
But I think this is happening generationally all over the place. I've told you as it comes to cash, it happens more and more to me. Every time I'm paying with cash, people think it's the strangest thing.
They laugh at you.
Yes, right. Cashiers that aren't looking at it that way anymore. You, Stugatz, must feel somewhere in here, though you get comfortable with the old ageness of it. You must feel similarly to Greg Cody. There's only so much you want to learn, and you're helping. The thing that keeps the industry alive so far, because there are fewer Jesses than there are you guys, these are creature of habit, familiar entertainment options. They will die slowly, but the future's clearly here, and it's you picking your menu the way you want without commercials.
Dan, think about what you just said. You said The Bear, which I'm assuming it's a show that you like, but you were guessing as to whether or not it's on Hulu or not.
Well, because
I know where FBI is, CBS.
That is part of the
all
change.
All reliable.
But, yes. after asking the first few times of where was this, Netflix, Apple, I've chosen my providers, and the game right now in all of money and content is Netflix. We've been talking about this all week. As Netflix says, how good it is matters. How good it is matters. Look at this. We're discovering we were just printing money, printing money, printing money. And then Apple comes in and they're like, well, this is how much it matters. We've got as much money as you, but we're not going to make everything. We're going to only try to make good things and lure you in one at a time with what Bill Lawrence told us yesterday, which is, I need to see Ted Lasso. It's one of the things that got word of mouth. What gets me over there? But they're all fighting for this space, and I really don't know the people listening to this. As television changes, I don't know what your limit is. Is it four? Is it five? Because there are a lot more than five that want your eyes right now. There are a lot more then I don't know where the number is for you, but Cody and Stugatz are already at, I don't even need a couple. I'm good where I am. I like watching on DirecTV or however it is I'm watching.
I'm totally fine, but I think that number shifts depending on where you're at in your life. So, like, you know, I have kids. Like, we're about to be empty nesters, and I'll have a lot more time to sit down and actually watch television. Right now, for me, it's one or two max.
Like, but you're still doing cable television.
I am,
there,
yes.
There are so many people. I don't know whether the number's 25% or something like that. They're going off the grid, off that stuff. That is what's happening at ESPN. When the way the model falls apart is you used to have 120 million subscribers that were paying $9.99 a month, even though 500,000 of them were watching Highly Questionable. So you got 119.5 million people paying for something that aren't watching it.
Right. It's a great model.
It's a great model. Yeah. It's we're all infomercials around the sporting events. And then what you've seen is people go off the grid as those numbers drop because people say, no, I don't want to pay cable bundles anymore. Hulu's got sports or whatever. Now, Disney's going to grab that money there. But that's what's happening in this world. And sports is about to be your viewing habits as a sports fan. Well, they're already changing. There are baseball games you got to find on Apple. Like if you're a big baseball fan, an old head has to get their apps in order and figure out where do I find Apple television, because they're going to be people looking for Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime who don't have any access right now to Amazon Prime, don't even know what it is.
Is there such thing as too much content though? Like, yes. It's looking like a Cheesecake Factory menu situation right now. It's just too many things.
What's the number? But what is the number on apps? What is, if I ask the audience or you guys, limit on streaming service monthly fees that you're willing to take to replace television or to change your
view? It depends what's there. I mean, I have to have Amazon Prime because I want to watch Thursday Night Football. So therefore, that's one of them for me. Roy is so right about the Cheesecake Factory, though, because eventually you're tired of flipping those pages and you just land on the shepherd's pie. That's not true.
I don't think too many options. I don't believe the Cheesecake Factory Shepherd's Pie is popular.
It's delicious. Now, it's like page three or four of the menu. There's still seven pages to go, and I'm tired.
Yeah. It's like
I found the show. And
it's
that's
like
it.
Some show you found.
Yeah,
right.
Shepherd's Pie. Yeah.
And you're like, I heard that's good. I haven't heard that that's good.
It's good. Well, listen, it's just there. I mean, it's always on page three. I know where it is. I mean,
Jessica is telling me that Lane Kiffin is in
the Lane train
in the waiting room here. We were going to tape this, but it is going to end up happening live.
Let's get dangerous.
I've been wanting to talk, but he needs to know that we're live. We can't spring on him the idea. Because Lane Kiffin, all kinds of Lane Kiffin.
He deserves to know. Anyone deserves to know that they're on live.
Right, but live Lane Kiffin can, he should know.
Could be fun, live Lane.
Yes. Yeah.
So that is what we are waiting for at the moment. But
to answer your question, Dan, about the streaming services, for me, it's like I'll settle on the ones that I need. There's not a show out there that's streaming right now outside of football that I care enough about where I'm going to have that streaming service just because of that show. So for me right now, that could change moving forward. Right now, it's all about where am I going to find the sports I want to watch.
I don't believe that Cody will be honest here. I don't know how he comes upon where he's streaming, but I assume your wife handles all of that. I'm assuming that if you had to go find anything for yourself by downloading an app or anything else, that you would not be able to find any of these things yourself, Dan, and that the remote is something that confuses
you. He can't turn on the TV.
I know how to download an app, but
on your phone. I'm talking about Dad, if you're home alone and you'd like to turn on the TV and put on the Red Zone channel.
Yeah, I will say my wife deals with all the
we're talking about. He's
remotes.
Talking about she deals with turning it on and putting channels on.
Right.
But like turning the Apple TV on, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because I don't know what's where. You
right,
know,
exactly.
And then she says, look at the menu. And I'm like, how do I access the menu? You know, I don't know how to do anything.
How often are you calling Michael to just say, Michael, how do I get the Food Network on?
I don't remember what numbers or what. I still say,
so
what
often.
Numbers ESPN? 205? Who can remember?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a guide.
There actually
me the
is
numbers.
A guide.
There is a guide.
At that table you have under that. If you open that drawer.
Guide Fieri.
No. I don't need a guide in a drawer.
Guide Fieri.
I don't know what channel the Food Network is on, yet
guide.
I watch it all the time.
I want a guide on my screen.
Yes.
Right? That's like, let me hit guide on the remote control and all the channels come up.
Right.
and I take a stroll through the guide. Yes. I mean, there's nothing like a little stroll through the guide.
I love a guide.
That's great.
Yep.
Guy's always on Fridays, Triple D's.
Yeah, but what channel is that? Used to be 4, 7, and 10.
Right.
No, easy cheesy. 198.
Right. Do you understand what's happening right now? This is the generational war happening.
Shepherd's Pie, page 3.
Exactly. Right.
My dad's not complicated by all the streaming services. He's just complicated on how to turn his TV on.
You know what? A show has to be great for me to watch it because there's too much variety. There's too much content, too much sensory overload. If it's Ted Lasso or Hacks, I love it. I'm going to watch it religiously. If it's a show that I like, but I don't like only Murders in the Building.
Do you know where they are, though?
I'm not loyal to it.
Ted Lasso, do you know where it is?
No, I don't know what streaming service
it is. On his screen.
Do you know where Hacks is?
No, I have no idea how to access it. That's why I'm happily married.
You would be so lost without my mom.
The reason that I'm asking the question, though, as Stugatz is aged out, as basically what you have with Stugatz here and Greg Cody, Creatures of Habit, with the form of entertainment that is familiar, and it matters that it's familiar because you'll stay with it for a long time if you don't have to change. They have officially stopped learning. And Greg Cody many, many years ago.
We'll see
that,
here.
That just decided, I'm not going to learn anymore. I have all the information I can have.
Yes.
That's enough.
Yep. The only stats that matter, home runs, RBIs, and batting average,
Bingo.
Baby. Thank you.
So I need Amazon Prime to watch Thursday Night Football. Will not be available to me on NFL Network,
all right, so
on
let's
CBS,
get, let's
Fox.
Get, let's, get you
I'm di- asking.
Let's get your dinosaurs out of here for a second, because Lane Kiffin's in the middle of a changing sport, okay? And he will either evolve with the sport or he will get eaten up. I always appreciate that he cuts through all the shit and gets right at it. And you've been talking honestly about the commerce of this, what's happening, Lane. So welcome. It's good to see you. How are you doing?
Can you hear us?
He can see us.
They're on with somebody.
No, let's play charades. All right.
They're on with
two
somebody.
Words.
No,
we're all
talking
with you.
To you, Lane.
This is the danger of live. Lane, take this down now for him so that he knows when he is on and get this right, because I don't want to put him in a position where he says something live because he does not know that he is live. Let's break for a second and come back, and we'll come back with Lane Kiffin.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's time for a self-check-in. How's your social battery right now? Is it drained or bursting with energy? Similar to how a battery stores energy before eventually running out, individuals with a social battery may feel a need to recharge or withdraw from social situations after a certain amount of time. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with work or social gatherings. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you drive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Are you tired of snooty wines and their old world wine culture?
Confused by words like malolactic fermentation? Yeah, we are too. So with 19 Crimes, you can do the fancy schmancy tilt, sip, smell. Ooh, I think it tastes like old red cherry, a little bit of wood and mahogany, a little leather. You can do all that stuff, or don't. 19 Crimes is the rebel of wine culture telling stories of rogues and rule breakers who overcame adversities. From convicts banished to Australia to the legendary icon Snoop Dogg himself. 19 Crimes wine is defiant by nature, bold in character, and always uncompromising. 19 Crimes, the official wine of the UFC. Pick up in stores nationwide or online at 19crimes.com. Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2024, Sonoma, California.
Don Le Batard.
I got somebody here making fun of me. How old do you have to be to reference Shecky Green? Man, I went comedically there with the funny name of a comedian. Mm-hmm. That's on you for not knowing who Shecky Green is.
Oh, you
got to
know who Shecky Green
no,
is.
No, you don't have to know who Shecky Green is. But
your ally.
I don't like my allies.
King
here.
Of the Borscht Belt.
Stugatz.
I have the soul of a Borscht Belt comedian. I should be in the Catskills in 1945. Opening for Shecky Green. That's who I was destined to be.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Lane, you seem very relaxed. You seem very confident. You seem happy to be Lane. Do I have all of this right?
Sure. Today, you caught me at a good moment. I did hot yoga this morning, so yes, I'm in a very good place. I've not been rattled yet today.
And you've also learned some things, right? God almighty, you've made all the mistakes in coaching in public, and now you can have the confidence of your successes, right? Holy shit, you're still a young man, and it feels like you've been at it forever.
Yeah, you know, there's a book that we had, Ryan Holiday wrote it, Come Speak to Our Players, that I refer to all the time, like obstacles away. Like, yeah, so when you make all those mistakes on the national stage because you're at a major job versus, you know, the normal way, you kind of make those mistakes and no one's covering you and you're at a small school working your way up. When you do it this way, you know, you learn early. So definitely got them out of the way, I guess.
I'm trying to picture you doing hot yoga. Is this like a private session, or is this like you're at, you know, LA Fitness with like 60 people?
Well, I'm definitely not in LA here. So, no, I'm in Oxford. So,
no, LA Fitness, Lane. LA Fitness.
I know, Fitness. But it gives me a visual.
Yeah, you're in Oxford Fitness. Right. It's not as nice as LA Fitness. It's Oxford.
No, not Oxford hot yoga with four people in there. No, it's kind of like hanging out in the dugout. You know, I don't do the private lesson thing. You know, you just man of the people.
You're alleging that Lane Kiffin crosses campus with a yoga mat under his arm, gets in a sweaty Bikram yoga class with 12 other people, and does downward dog like a normal human being.
100%. Now, I go to the back row, so I'm not big like going the front row where everybody can see you.
Right.
But yes, I do. And the mat across the campus that I do, that would be the high maintenance part. They already have a mat there set for me, so I don't really walk, you know, across campus carrying a mat.
Okay, so no mat under the arm there. It's where the Lane Kiffin special is waiting for you. They've learned to expect you for the hot yoga.
Are you skateboarding across campus?
I am not, no. It's actually not very far. And it was at 6 this morning, so it was on the way in, so I drove.
Mm. No scooter or anything? Do you have a golf cart? Do you get around campus in a King's vehicle of some sort?
I don't really go around campus very much. I'm not excited about saying this. I actually walked to the Grove, the legendary Grove, for the first time the other day from my office, which just sounds really bad. You'd think in year three, you would know how to get there from your office, but I really had never gone there that direction. I'd only been dropped off there on a bus for the pregame walk. So when you have a dog, you know, when they come to do a special on the dog, these things happen. So ESPN was here and Gene Wojciechowski, and they wanted to go to the Grove with the dog. So I learned how to get there.
Your life has changed a lot by location and through the learning that you have done. And now you find yourself in your career, I imagine, pretty comfortable, but everything around you is changing very quickly. What have the last 2 years been like as all for you, just as a coach, a leader responsible for this, as you've seen like all of the charade, all of the walls come crumbling down on how big a business this is?
Yeah, I think, again, you know, those things that are good and bad, you know, everything is as good and bad. And so that whole, you know, on the highest level so early on and seeing it, you know, there's good because you're the youngest this and you're at these big jobs and everything. But there's, you know, a bad part of it because you see how those places operate and how, you know, people and fans and donors especially, how fast they turn on you. So once you've done it for a while, you just know what it is. And so you just continue to see it all around and college football. And now coaches get fired after 2 years college football which when you really think about how are you ever supposed to, you know, get a program really turned around that fast and, you know, be completely judged on that of the job that you've done. So it just is what it is. And the longer you're in it, I guess you accept it and know what it is and you're not surprised by it.
What do you regard, though, as the place that hurt the most, where you looked up and doubted about, like, wait a minute, have I done irreparable damage to my career here? I'm not going to be able to get up off my knees, or were you always hopeful?
No, I mean, that happens. I mean, you get fired at USC, and it's a national firing and on a tarmac at 3 a.m. I mean, that's kind of going to scar you there for a little bit. And it's week five of the season, so... when you get fired that early, the story runs forever. You don't get a job right away. So there's a lot of time there, and you question, where you're at in your career and can you get back and all those things. So going back to that as obstacles away thing, I look at that completely different. I thought there couldn't have been something worse happened to me than getting fired from my dream job. And then you realize, hey, had you never done that, you would have never went to Alabama. Worked with Nick Saban, been around those great players and coaches, but to be able to learn from him, which, in turn made me that much better when I eventually became a head coach again. So, we just talk to our coaches, players about that all the time. Now you get in these things, these moments, you think like this, there's nothing worse that could be happening. And you have no idea why it is. And someday you're going to find out there was a reason.
Lane, does the school, the tradition, the history, the coach, does any of that matter anymore?
As far as what exactly?
In terms of where kids want to go. Or is it just money?
It doesn't. When I make the statements about NIL, I don't say it's, the only thing that matters. It is the number one thing, which is most professions, most jobs, because this is now, a profession or professional sports. These are jobs. And a lot of people, especially if you're young, if you're 17, 18, and a majority of them not having money, salary is going to be the first thing when you guys go to take a job. So it certainly is at their age and their situation. The other stuff still matters, and facilities for development of players once you get them and stuff. But, I think I kind of went way out there compared to most in that statement. But that's just what you're going to get always. I mean, you're just going to get the way that it is and not your normal coach speak. And to think that how much you pay players is not going to be the number one impact of where they go, I mean, you got to get realistic.
Yeah, but if the money's good enough, do you see any players going to a school like Vanderbilt?
I think if you were able to see the discrepancy of being so different in a salary, someone would. But, usually there's not a program that's not a, kind of premier program with the money to go way out there and pay someone much different than they're getting at another place. So usually these things are kind of going hand in hand. Usually your bigger programs got there for a reason. They usually had better facilities and more money put into them. And that's kind of a lot of what NIL is in the collectives, because a lot of their money is from the donors.
Lane, when you look down the road, you see NIL as the beginning of what? Can you picture a day when the superstar starting college quarterback is making as much legal money as some head coaches?
Yeah. I mean, if reports are what they are out there of what's getting paid to, a couple of these high school quarterbacks in the next class, that's already happening. We've had jokes of coaches, places that we know say, they're now the lowest paid person in their position room, And so, that's here. And until that gets completely changed, capped, controlled, that's how it's going to go. And it's not, there's a lot of bad parts about that, of dynamics of locker rooms, of players. I mean, you're going to give all this money to a player that's coming in that you really don't know how good they are. I mean, you screw up the NFL draft all the time, and that's with players 3-4 years older that you have a ton of information on. So there's going to be a lot of, what you'd call in professional sports, dead money sitting there.
What's the going rate for these quarterbacks you're talking about?
Well, again, I'm going to say things based off of just, what's out there and what you guys would be able to find out and stuff. And you're seeing guys, make a couple million dollars a year that are still in high school, getting ready to come out. They're not even in college yet. So it is what it is. I'm not, going to fight it. And that's just kind of how we always do in our program, whether it's offense, defense, schemes, and just – it is what it is, and figure out a way to do it well.
You have, forgive me, I don't know, you have a way of cutting through the bullshit, Lane, so if any of this is problematic, you tell me. But if I want to be a top 20 program and I want a running back that's really good, what's that going to cost me? Like the average cost, you're running a corporation, you're a CEO, you know what these things have numbers now, assigned values, do they not?
Not as much as you would think, because again, you don't have public record and contracts. So you're not able, it's not like the NFL or somewhere you can just pull up all the contracts and here's the average salary over how many years. So it's not that easy to figure out. And, It sounds like people are set up in very different ways because, again, there's no base contract structure for everybody, whether they're getting that right when they get there, whether they're getting that over the term of 4 years while they're there, whether they have to stay to get it. There's all kinds of different ways because, again, you have collectives writing the contracts that's not controlled by the head coach or the school. You know, so it'd be like in the NFL, the general manager, the head coach isn't telling them what to pay and writing contracts. Someone else outside of the building, outside of the organization is. So it's a really messy situation.
Why didn't you get Arch?
Oh, you were so close to getting Arch.
I mean, Lane, I thought he was
Lane,
going there.
Lane, I thought he was there. Yeah. You thought he was there, didn't you?
Well, this would be those weird rules they have. I can't even answer that. Because he was still a prospective student athlete that is not signed there. That's kind of that maturity thing. I would have answered that years ago.
Oh, well, the Mannings are cheaters. Everyone knows it. And all of them are for sale. And Texas,
I'm proud of you. I don't think Lane's saying any of this.
He's not saying it, but I don't like this
new adult Lane. I like Let It Fly Lane is the Lane that I prefer. You had him. How certain were you that you had him? You can't even do that?
I can't. And yeah, this new Lane doesn't help your ratings very much. You don't really get those ESPN ticker lines anymore.
Can you do it this way? Hypothetically, a magical quarterback who was born from quarterback royalty appears in high school, and Lane Kiffin could have gotten him because he had links to the old school. I thought it was a foregone conclusion. I was surprised that this hypothetical quarterback would end up anywhere else.
Well, I don't know how to do that exactly, but I have said all along, you know, sometimes, and I'm not saying this happened here, but at places, sometimes kids especially like things or dislike things that you think they may like or dislike. And let's say I go to a place, I'm this 17-year-old kid, and I go to a place that every you know, they got streets with my names on it, the whole building's named after me. That could be a great thing. And then you may have some personalities. I said, along my personality, I wouldn't want that. I'd want to go do my own thing somewhere different. And, you know, by the way, there's someone that had that same choice that did. His name is Peyton Manning. So, you know, I think that can be a real plus, like everybody around here would think, but I think it can be a negative, like I said, from day one.
Right. Hypothetical, Lane. No names.
Where is success for you this year, Lane? How are we measuring that stuff, right? You're back in the game. You're in one of the money conferences. You've got a legitimate program. You've got a job. These are good jobs now, Lane. Like, the one that you have is a good job. It's a safe job. You can make a lot of money. And I think they appreciate you there. It seems like they do. So how do you measure success?
First off, these aren't good jobs. These are great jobs. I mean, you know, to be not just at the highest level, but the SEC, you know, again, just say it as it is, like, there's a big difference between the SEC and every conference. It's almost like different leagues. So, you know, to have one of these, whatever, 14 jobs is really special. And I don't forget about that ever. So we're happy to be here. You know, went to a Sugar Bowl last year, won 10 regular season games, the most ever in the history of the school. So, you know, we're headed the right direction, but every year is new. And now, because of the portal, your years before really don't matter. You know, it's like having massive free agency. You know, and not just on top of massive agency in professional sports, you usually have already lost your best players to the draft. So what people did the year before is really not going to matter very much anymore.
You got any good Mike Leach has been a weirdo lately stories?
No, he really hasn't. Maybe he's like getting mature or something. Like, he really doesn't give us very much stuff anymore anyway. So, but also, I don't know. You know, we're in Mississippi, and I feel like Leach is in Key West a lot. So I don't think he's up for a whole lot making headlines.
I would love to have your honest reaction wherever you were when they brought to you Jimbo Fisher going crazy on Nick Saban. Like, whenever they played for you all of that sound, where were you and how did you receive that?
Well, first off, they didn't have to bring it to me. So when there was an announcement Jimbo was having a press conference, if you know these two people, I mean, I was here 5 minutes early, like getting ready for like the movie or like watching some, you know, unbelievable national event. So I'm like, this is not a normal press conference. And I'm thinking, there's a lot of people, it's starting a little late, so that means there's a lot of people trying to talk Jimbo into not doing this right now, and that ain't gonna work because he's gonna do it. And then once it started going, it's like that movie you watch, you're like, wait, this is really happening. And I'm like, wait, he's doing it again. And you're like, oh my God, he now just said that. So it really, no, I was like sitting here waiting, like, you know, popcorn ready, like, this is going to be really good. So, and afterwards I walked out to my sector and I said, did that actually just really happen? Or was like, that does not happen. And I was like, if that ever would have happened, I would have guessed I was the Nick Saban assistant that would have done that, not someone else. So it was very interesting to watch.
You were jealous.
I was happy it wasn't me, actually.
Well, we look forward to seeing you at Kyle Field, Lane, October 29th.
It seems like you're leaking confidence on the impersonation because you're respecting the coach too much. That's our limited faith.
What do you mean, impersonation?
That's
Dan Levitard? Let me tell you something, Dan Levitard. You're going to talk to Lane Kiffin about me. I'm going to come in here and get in on this conversation, daggummit.
But to Dan's point, you're much more confident when you deliver it to Dan than you are to Lane Kiffin.
Roy, do you have the sound of Jimbo Fisher doing this? Because I would like, did it exceed your expectations? Because you know both characters involved, and you know that Jimbo's pissed, and you've probably been waiting for a long time. Part of it is, right, really? Someone's going to challenge Saban in public? People don't do that.
No, they don't usually. No, it really was like, this is right. And like when he hit him with the, like, you know, thinks he's God thing and walks on water, like that was kind of like, all right, you know, like I said, my ratings are probably down on your show nowadays compared to the old ways. Like that's some good ratings right there.
All right. I'm going to waste 90 seconds of your day and time to play this for the audience. And you're going to have to be ready for an answer on what your favorite part was. If you got with popcorn to listen to it, did that really happen? Here it is. 90 seconds.
Here's what I'm going to say. And this is point blank. This is point blank to the, because here's my problem. There is no $30 million fund. There is no $5 million. There is no 10. This is garbage. Okay. And it does. It pisses me off that people, and here it comes from a site called Bro Bible by a guy named Sliced Bread. Then everybody runs with it. So it's written on the internet as gospel. How irresponsible is that? And then to have coaches in our league and across this league to say it, clown acts. Irresponsible as hell. Multiple coaches in our league. And the guy's griping about NIL, griping about transfer portal, using it the most and bragging about it the most. That's the ironic part. You want character? I'll take it with any of y'all. It's a joke. It does piss me off. The other thing, when you look at Vice President, I get another one. Vice President of Notre Dame. Look, you're at Rutgers University, right? That's a heck of a person leading at Rutgers University. I'd be real proud if I hired that guy. Read it off sliced bread. It's funny. Nick Saban said his quarterback got an $800,000 deal. It was wonderful. Now it ain't wonderful no more, huh? But ours, we ain't got that. Ours are on record what comes up. We ain't doing all them big deals. There ain't none on our place that we know of. That's funny when you do it. The hypocrisy is a joke. It's an absolute joke, and it's insulting to our staff, how hard we work, to how we do things, and it's insulting to Texas A&M, because there ain't a better place to go to school and play ball. If you don't like it, we're coming on. Get used to it, all right? We ain't going nowhere. It's an absolute joke, the people who put the hard work in and do it. It's irresponsible, but it's funny when they get it, it's all okay. Ball games are changing, man. And it ain't because of NIL and what goes on. It's pretty irresponsible of all of them. They're clowns.
We'll go next.
If they got a problem with it, come see me. I ain't a hard guy to find.
That's great. Great.
Your favorite.
The best part about it is there was no question asked throughout that whole thing. It was like people thought there were like five different ones to put them all the different directions. I mean, the guy at Notre Dame's getting attacked, the clown thing, you know, other coaches in the conference. So I know that was directed over here, you know. So
sliced bread. I mean, he took out everyone.
It's just
yeah.
Classic when other coaches are watching that and they're just like listening to each other and talking and they just go, yeah, that the highest ranked class in the history of football was just signed somewhere that had nothing to do with NIL at all after having what, like a 7-win season. So they just all came there, you know, because the campus is so beautiful. I mean, come on, bro.
The campus is beautiful, Lane. Y'all are a bunch of clowns.
Did it all of a sudden get more beautiful? Like, I mean,
you're one of the clowns. I need an answer to the question. Are you one of the aforementioned Jimbo Fisher clowns?
Yeah, because he's saying the same ones using the portal are the ones complaining about it. So Yeah, that was directed at me.
Lane, I appreciate that you're not afraid of sliced bread at Bro Bible. You will go straight. You'll go head first at sliced bread. Thank you for making the time for us. Look forward to you being a mercenary renegade across your sport.
Yeah, I'm sure sliced bread really enjoyed that because all of a sudden people looked to find out who sliced bread was. Because he didn't just say it once. He said it twice.
Yeah.
So.
Lane, before you get out of here, though, we've had a raging debate on the show, and I want your thoughts on it. Fajitas, what's better, the smell or the taste?
Probably smell.
Yeah.
My only issue is the whole post-smell thing. Like, when you do it, you get them hot, like, smell. I mean, like, you smell like it, like, the rest of the, you know, the rest of the night. So,
yeah.
That's my only issue with it. You know, and then people say, well, don't give them smoky, but then you don't have the smell. So, that's kind of... that's kind of a tough call.
Do you have a controversial food opinion?
I don't think so.
Okay, good talking to you.
I don't like hot and cold together, so that confused a lot. But like, it really bothers me when I see people like put cold salad, cold like lettuce on something hot. Like the whole hot and cold thing, I just
don't like a grilled chicken Caesar?
Ooh, no. But I would eat the salad if it was separate.
Right.
It just can't be together or even on the same plate. It's just weird.
Is filet mignon overrated?
Yeah, just because it's got a cool name. So,
boom.
Like a lot of things in this world, we just think they're better if the name's cool.
Apologize, Dan.
Apologize, Dan. Okay. I don't know how you arrived there, but okay. Thank you, Lane. Good talking to you.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
See you, Lane.
See you in October.
I felt like you leaked confidence there, and I understand the bravest thing that anyone does around here is try the impersonation when they're not confident of it. And I have found here, Jessica, I didn't like it. It happened the other day with Amin and Stan Van Gundy. I can't believe that this show of all shows gets a little scared around the coaches, given that
Hold on a second. I was not afraid. I hadn't done that impression in months. And I was not ready for
rusty.
It. I didn't get to practice it. Rusty.
But no one asked for it.
And it started coming out, and I was like, but I didn't remember we had Lane Kiffin today. I would have practiced it all last night. Instead, I was singing show tunes.
She's right, though. In that moment, you got to just fly with the Jimbo. Yeah. Like, there's no better moment for a fake Jimbo than when Lane's talking about Jimbo. So even if you're not, if you're feeling a little rusty, you still got to go for it. And she did. It was good. Good job, Jess.
Yeah, way to
also,
go, Smitty.
So rattled because he was on Zoom. They were an hour late. I think there was a time zone mix-up, I assume, because Mississippi's in Central Time. Time so
he
we
seemed,
had to,
he
we
seemed were agitated.
Live.
Right,
like the speaker wasn't working on their end. Yeah. He had to connect to the audio. It was a whole fiasco, Dan, in here. People
Although,
are texting me, does Lane know we're live? I'm like, I hope so, because we're live.
We didn't get anything good, so like nothing happened, so they can feel safe about it. But there's nothing better.
We didn't get anything good as a real endorsement for the last 20 minutes.
You are right, Dan.
I'm about to say, I didn't mean in the interview. I meant beforehand, there was like a 5-minute period where we could hear their entire room and they couldn't hear us. So Lane could have been like, this is bull. Like, you know, we, like I said, this is what I meant, where we didn't get anything. He was actually very nice, but I love that sweet space in a Zoom when you can hear people and they don't know you can hear them.
Mm-hmm. Kick, save, and abuse.
Well, the truth comes out.
I don't want to just go skipping merrily past Jessica volunteering moments ago that she was busy singing show tunes in her living room.
I did wonder about that.
She was not preparing for the Jimbo Fisher impersonation because show tunes were being sung.
What were you singing?
What kind of show tunes?
Okay, so Jared Bear and I, he's not here today, so we won't do it today. But
put it on the poll, by the way. Excuse me, Jessica. Just put it on the poll at Labatard Show. Have you ever been so happy in your life that you sing show tunes in the middle of your living room?
Okay, so Jared Bear and I had a long conversation after the show on Monday about musicals. And then right after we left, we got the news that Olivia Newton-John passed away. And so I was kind of inspired by that to watch some musicals Monday night and Tuesday night. So on Monday night, I watched In the Heights for the first time. Hadn't seen it before. It was very good. Very nice musical. Lin-Manuel Miranda, a little Look at Me, Louie, cast himself in everything that he does. Anywho.
Put it on the poll, Chris. Is Lin-Manuel Miranda Lou-Manuel Miranda? Because he's a little bit Look at Me, Louie.
Last night I watched Mamma Mia, so then I was singing ABBA, and then I started singing some Les Mis, and then I started some singing some Phantom, and then I was singing some Jesus Christ Superstar.
Wow.
Like, this was a whole, this Very was nice. A, you did a production.
I did a concert for myself.
Sounds like a terrible evening.
Yeah. My boyfriend's used to it. He's heard me sing all of these songs, especially if you get me in a car, I will just sing for hours.
Oh, also on a boat the other day, too.
That's why I didn't pick you up
on
today.
A boat.
You were the Ethel Merman of your generation. Congrats.
Also, some Liza Minnelli. Liza Minnelli singing New York, New York. Greg Cody.
There you go.
I think you might have mentioned New York earlier on the show.
Uh-huh.
One of the best stage performances of all time, Liza Minnelli singing New York, New York.
Love Liza.
Ethel Merman.
Let's do this because I'm with you, Chris Cody.
So great.
Gods, please feel free right now to just read for us some random facts about the life of Ethel Merman so people can understand.
How do you spell Ethel?
How mummified a reference this is, as Greg Cody thinks that he's bringing the heat, bringing the thunder, getting the demo that needs to be gotten when he makes references about people. I'm going to guess Ethel Merman died 40 goddamn years ago.
Talk about a queen of show tunes, though.
She died in 1984.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Wow.
Recent. But I know who Ethel Merman is, Dan. That's like a relevant old reference.
Legend, right?
Unlike most of his irrelevant old references.
Oh, come on now. Hey, now. No, Ethel Merman is a com. If you sing show tunes and you're compared to Ethel Merman, there's no higher praise. Although Liza Minnelli is right up there, because talk about a theatrical voice. I really enjoyed her.
Cabaret? Yeah. Is that one of your favorites?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
She was born in 1908.
Damn right she was. I was right there with her. I'm now 113. Thank you.
You said thank you like
he's
17
so,
times.
He's so out of gas. He doesn't know that we're on live. Like we have done. This is for 90 minutes. It's like carrying around someone who's drugged and sedated. He doesn't know where he is, and he's just like firing off thank yous. He thinks this is an acceptance speech. He believes he is clearly hearing over the last 90 minutes only applause. Like it's just thank you. Yeah. No, please sit down, everybody.
Someone will disagree with him, and then he'll be like, "Thank you, Jessica."
He has spent 90 minutes. We've been
Special
on. K. We've been on 99 minutes live. He doesn't know where he is.
What?
He looks disoriented. He's gotten into several arguments that looked like they would be arguments off air that he didn't realize he was on air.
This is interesting because she was born in 1908, but she insisted later on that she was born in 1912.
Yeah.
Where's Charles Bricker?